Blog Talk Radio.
From the pits to the stands, from the drivers to the fans, it's time for Race Fans Rock with your host, Infield Chen.
Hey there, race fans. It's time to kick off another Race Fans Rock radio show. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Infield Jen, and I'm ready to get this started. Now, a little preview of what you can expect tonight on the show. I'll be speaking with my friend, who is also a guest man in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series for the number 47 JTG Daugherty race team, driven by the very funny and talented AJ Allmendinger. I'll be speaking with his guest man. You'll hear all about what he does. His name is Josh Martin. You'll hear how he does it and how he came about doing it in just a few minutes. But first, I hope everyone listening had a great weekend and good week. I sure did. It was actually the first weekend that I've been home in like over a month. Now, don't get me wrong. I absolutely love being on the road, going from track to track, doing my job and meeting all these awesome race fans, hearing all about why they're race fans, you know, and why they are the way they are about the sport and how passionate they are. But, you know, it was pretty nice to be home too. I actually helped a friend of mine pack up and move out of her apartment. And I had a margarita party on Saturday night as well. We all watched the NASCAR Sprint Cup race at Bristol on TV, and it was good. The drinks were great, and it was a lot of fun. So I had great conversations with some of my friends that I haven't seen in a while, so it was good to catch up with them. Had the opportunity to do something that, you know, I can't tell you how much I enjoy doing. I got to go through each room in my apartment, and I threw out about 15 bags of stuff we no longer needed or wanted, or just crap that was collecting dust. I got rid of it all, and, you know, I had to do that while Brian was at the shop because he could be a real pack rat, and I am so not like that. But it's good because, you know, he didn't even notice half the stuff that I threw out. He just thought that the house looked great, and it was really nice and clean. I did get a few things from my friend who did move out. She got a really nice cabinet. We got it in the living room now, and it's a great storage. It's providing some great storage for some of the stuff that we had. But the thing that I love most is the leopard shoe chair that she gave me. Yeah, I've been wanting one of those for years. Now, I got this thing. I think everyone who knows me knows this. I love leopard print, like, on everything. Tiger print, zebra print, they're also high on the list, but leopard print, man, that is my thing. And this cool girly chair is like one of my favorite things in the apartment now. So Brian just rolls his eyes and deals with my leopard fascination. That is all. Anyway, hey, speaking of Brian, I'm telling you, he never ever ceases to amaze me. And this week was absolutely no different. I think it was Thursday night. Yep, Thursday night. He was at the shop all day, and I was home working on my website, sponsorship stuff, you know, usual day. Well, he comes home and just blurts out, "I'm running for president." So I was like, "Of what?" And he's like, and he goes, "President of the United States." Huh, all right. I stared at him, waiting for him to, like, laugh or something. So I made a face at him, like, you know, like when you twitch your face at someone, like, okay. So I said, "Okay, that's nice, dear." And I proceeded to slowly turn back to my computer. My face was still twitching like he was crazy. I mean, come on, who comes home and says this? Really? So anyway, he tells me, "No, I'm serious." So I slowly turn back around and I say, "Okay, what's going on?" He proceeds to show me the real presidential candidate list that he had on his phone all up on his screen, which he, you know, stuck in my face. And there was like 800 people on this list. And a lot of them were like farce names, like people put their cats and dogs' names on the list. Satan, the Prince and Lord of Darkness was on the list. I mean, all these crazy names were on this list running for president. But, you know, the one that really struck Ryan, and I guess you can say gave him his inspiration to do this, was the person on the list under the name D's Nuts. Yeah, D's Nuts. He actually had like 9% of the vote in North Carolina or something like that. So Brian's epiphany was, if I can get 9% of the vote, I'm sorry, if he can get 9% of the vote, which is a complete joke, like, why the heck can't I get a higher percentage? He says, you know, people know who I am. He's like, and I'm likable, which, you know, yes, okay, yes, you are. He is very likable. So I was still giving twitchy face, like, are you serious? You know, but I finally said, all right, look, I love you, and I'll support you with whatever crazy idea you want to come up with. So what are we going to do to get you on this list? In my head, I was saying, imagine if you were to actually win. Do you know how many basset hounds we could fit in the White House? I mean, That is the biggest reason why Brian and I will not move out of our place, out of our apartment into a bigger place, because we already have 3 basset hounds in a 1-bedroom. And hello, we physically can't put any more dogs on the couch. There is just no room. But in the White House, they could be everywhere. But all kidding aside, Brian tells me to find the form that I have to fill out. And I was like, you want to be president. You find the form. What do I got to do it for? So I get up and hand the computer over to him. Wouldn't you know it? He couldn't find the form. So reluctantly, I did. And I filled it out for him, too. And he made me put my name down as the person who's going to run his campaign committee. I was like, oh, look, another job promotion I didn't need. But again, okay. I love him, so okay, I'll do it. So, yeah, I put my name down, filled out the rest of the form, and hit submit. Oh, God. Brian got an email shortly after, like, confirming his submission. And a few hours later, his name was on the list. So basically, anyone can run, you know, for president of the United States and put their name on this list. It's free to do. The next step, however, you got to spend either $5,000 or receive $5,000 in campaign funds. Well, when we race at Salem Speedway in a few weeks with the ARCA Racing Series, we will have spent well over $5,000 in Brian's first official campaign for the presidency of the United States. And he will then get to fill out the next form, which I believe will put him on a list of, like, maybe 20 people or so that are kind of serious, you know, currently down from the 800-plus people that are on it now. So, you know, oh, and by the way, These Nuts is actually a 15-year-old kid out of Ohio. So we'll see. I mean, Brian's really started to answer some real questions about the issues, and I think he gives some good answers. So, oh, hey, you never know. We were joking around with some slogans, and one was, like, Kez for Prez. Hey, you can't do worse. I think it's a pretty good one. It's pretty honest. So, I mean, come on. Look at the two that are on top right now. Do you really want either one of those people in office? Really? Or do you want a guy who can bring a racetrack to every state in the nation? Just saying. I have a good mind ripping out that rose garden and putting an asphalt track in the backyard of the White House. I think that would be pretty cool. So anyway, we'll see what happens. Either way, it's going to be a cool and fun experience. And how many times in my life will I be able to say, my boyfriend ran for president. What did yours do? Anyway, moving on. In racing news, a sad time. It's a real sad time for the Indy racing community. And to all those who knew driver Justin Wilson, who passed away yesterday from injuries he sustained on Sunday's race at Pocono Raceway. He was struck in the head with a piece of debris from a wreck that happened in front of him and was airlifted to the local hospital in Pocono. Sadly, he didn't make it, and it's a real shame. He was 37 years old and leaves behind a wife, 2 young daughters, and his immediate family. Maybe now the IndyCar sanctioning body will consider doing something to make those cars safer. I mean, I don't know why those drivers are not enclosed in that car and how this kind of tragedy didn't actually happen sooner. I mean, but it's really dangerous to have any part of a driver's body exposed while they're racing for, you know, for instances just like this, you know. So hopefully, you know, they see this as their wake-up call and opportunity to make a change to protect their drivers and make their series better for all involved. Now, I never met Justin, but it is always heartbreaking to hear when someone in the series loses their life. Our prayers and condolences go out to the family, friends, and fellow competitors of Justin Wilson. Now, while it's very unfortunate that the racing world has lost Justin, he will continue to live on in others and help save their lives, as he was a registered organ donor. He's going to help 6 individuals live, and that's a really cool thing. Now, he's going to be missed greatly, continue to live on because of him. So rest in peace, Justin Wilson. What a sad time. So, okay, let's move on. So now this past weekend, all 3 of the NASCAR Series, Cup, Xfinity, and Camping World Trucks, were battling it out at the loudest track on the circuit. Now, they don't call Bristol Motor Speedway Thunder Valley for nothing. The place is loud. But anyway, it was Ryan Blaney who brought home the win last Wednesday night in the UNOH 200. Kyle Busch stole the win in the Xfinity Series Food City 300. And it was Joey Logano who took home the checkered flag in the Sprint Cup Series Irwin Tools Night Race on Saturday. So I took to social media today to get some race fans' opinions about the racing at Bristol. And some of the comments that they posted were, Ted Stavinsky said, it was great. Typical Bristol baby, bumping and grinding. Whereas Ray Kilgore said, Bristol was ruined when they changed it to progressive banking. If you don't believe me, look at the crowds. You don't see any of the old bump and run anymore. Becky Taylor said it was boring. Jean Sullivan said, ho-hum. Rachel Tinney said, my husband always talked about the old Bristol. He has attended several races there prior to the progressive banking and is super upset that they changed the racing surface. Now, I think it's tough for people who are sentimental about Bristol to see high side racing. For me, I love short track racing. I don't care so much if they are fighting for it on the top or the bottom. I enjoyed it. Well, other people did post, and I want to thank each and everyone who shared their opinions on my page about the racing at Bristol. And if I didn't read your comment in the air, you know, just know that I did read each and every one of them, and, you know, thanks for posting them up. Now, next on the schedule for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series is Darlington Raceway, but that will not take place this weekend. That'll take place next weekend because these guys have the weekend off. But the NASCAR Xfinity Series will be headed back to some more road course racing at Road America, and the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series will be hightailing it over to our northern border, to the Canadian Tire Motorsports Park in Bowmanville, Ontario, in Canada. So we're going to get to that a little bit later on in the show, but now I want to get my first guest on the line. Now I'm just going to give him a call, and he's having difficulties calling in, everyone. So hang on a second, everyone, and I am going to, let me get him on the line. Let's see how we do this. His phone number is, and I will not say that out loud. Hang on, everyone. We're just going to get Josh on the line. Dial. It says it's dialing. See if we can get Josh on the line. There we go.
Hello.
There it goes. Hey, Josh.
Yes.
All right. I did it. Hey. Actually, I saw that you were having trouble calling in, so I decided to call you. It's Jen. What's going on?
Oh, of course it is. Yeah, for some reason, I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't get connected.
Well, we've had technical difficulty before, but we got you on the line. So, hey, thanks for coming on the show. Let's get started. So now, Josh, you're the gas man on a successful team in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, but, you know, you didn't start at the top. You worked your way up. And now race fans always ask me how they can get a job in racing. And, you know, there's never a right answer or a formula that they can go about it. So how did you do it? Where did you come from? How did you move to Mooresville? How did you get your first job in racing?
Well, I actually am probably the oddest case out of everyone in the sport that kind of literally fell into it. I got picked up to do a television show when B Street was in town. They got just average Joes off the street and took them to the pit school and showed them how to do pit stops and put us up against a real Sprint Cup pit crew at the time. And we went up there for the filming of it, went through about 3 hours of instruction, and they put our times against the guys that do it professionally at the time. And fortunately, the owner of the school saw that I was just kind of natural at being a jackman, and with the 2 hours of instruction, explained to me, you know, hey, have you ever thought about doing this professionally? I was like, not really. I was like, I was just here to kind of do a TV show. And
okay.
He sat me down and kind of explained it to me and explained to me about the school. And the next session of the school, I was enrolled and studied how to be a jackman at the Pitt School in Mooresville, North Carolina.
Very cool. Wow. Well, that's definitely not a typical way anybody gets a job in this sport. That's really cool. So now, what teams have you worked for in the past, and who'd you work your way up? How'd you work your way up the ladder?
Well, initially out of the school, they had a combine, which most professional sports do, and I got picked up by what was the Busch Series back in the day, a Busch Series team. They saw that, you know, I could be a good jackman. And at the point in time, they needed a jackman, but I told them I didn't know anything about working on a race car. And they're like, well, we'll bring you in, teach you how to work on the race car. We just need you to actually be the jackman on the car. So I went to work for that small team for about a year. Wasn't really my thing working the shop, per se. Kind of got my feet wet and saw how some other guys did it. And then that's when I decided to do the pit crew only stuff. And as us older guys have done, we started our way at what used to be the Hooters Pro Cup Series. Next step was ARCA, then what was the Busch Series, then turned into Nationwide, now Xfinity, and just slowly worked our way up to what's the Sprint Cup Series today.
Gotcha. Wow. So, Josh, so you're not at the shop at all, right? You don't, you're not at the shop during the week?
No. Half of our team is actually just race day only guys, but we do have practice twice a week. We go for practice, and we have an hour of a strength and conditioning training. And then we get on a chartered plane Sunday mornings in Concord, North Carolina, and fly to wherever the race is, and then come back on Sunday.
Gotcha. So, Josh, what's a typical day like at the track for you?
Our typical day, being a race day guy, our day normally starts about 4 o'clock in the morning. The plane normally leaves at 5. We'll fly out to wherever, land at the airport, get in a van, drive over the track. We'll get to the track, set the pit box up, run all the race day tires out to the pit box, get everything set up, cleaned. As far as that goes, my day is pretty much over with until it's time for me to get my gas cans ready. The tire changers have to glue their tires about 2 hours before the race. And then after that, just kind of, if we have time to go eat, we go eat. Some of us have other responsibilities. And then an hour before the race, we have our team meeting. And then it's race time. It's time to go at that point.
So now, Josh, you said that you started as a jackman. How'd you make that switch from jackman to gasman?
Well, I started off, like I said, as a jackman. I learned how to do that. And the more I got involved in the sport, the more I was interested in being a tire carrier and a gas man. So I fully kept working on the other two disciplines. Became a halfway decent carrier and a pretty good gas man just because of my size. Then when NASCAR switched to the new Schultz fueling system, I was in the truck series at the time, and that's where they introduced the Schultz fueling system. So I picked up on it really quick, understood how it worked, and at that point, I just kind of automatically transitioned over to being just a gas man.
Nice. Okay, well, that makes sense. that was a big kind of challenge for a lot of the gas people, the gas guys, to kind of learn when that first got implemented. So I guess that put you at an advantage. And so now when you're at the track, do you have any rituals that you personally do, personally or as a team, to kind of prepare for the race?
Not really. Our team is very unique and fortunate. It's made up of all veterans. Everyone on our team that goes over the wall has at least 10-plus years of experience. So there's really nothing that we haven't seen or done or that kind of freaks us out. And we're calm and cool, I guess, under pressure. For everyone that watched the race, we're the 47 car at Pocono where Casey King hit the wall. It was like right there at our pit box.
Yes.
And none of our guys freaked out. We checked on each other, make sure everybody was okay, and immediately started, you know, cleaning up our stuff. And we were getting prepared for a pit stop before we even knew that the wall was broken. We were waiting for them to move the car. I mean, to get the debris out, and so we could come into a pit stop.
Oh, wow.
So I mean, that just shows, like I said, being with a group of veterans, we didn't get spooked, or we knew to immediately start to clean up and get ready to come in.
Right. You knew exactly what to do. Now, for those listening and those that don't know, Josh is a big dude. Josh, tell us, how tall are you and how much can you lift? Because you're like ridiculous.
6'5", and during the race season, I tend to stay around 290. Just because I feel that's a good weight that I can move around. It's good on my joints. In off season, I'll balloon up to 340 or so.
Really?
Just pack it on extra muscle. I do it like most bodybuilders do it. For me, that works for me. That's what I really enjoy doing. I've always adopted that lifestyle and lived that lifestyle and have transitioned it over into racing now.
Well, that's awesome. So now, when you are at the shop, right? Or well, you don't have I guess you do have some interactions at the race because you are there sometimes during the week, but, like, how much interaction do you have with your driver off the track and in the shop? Like, does he come around a lot and interact with the crew?
On Sundays, he does.
Okay.
On Sundays, he does. Because of our multiple sponsorships, he is hardly in town himself.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay.
He has so many obligations, and we practice really early in the morning. He comes by the shop a lot. It's just not the wee hours of the morning when we're in there.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, on Sundays, I mean, he's hanging out with us, joking, cutting up, especially on the airplane ride home. He tends to torment all of us.
Well, that's good. Okay, good. I mean, because I think, like, a good relationship with the driver makes for a better overall crew at the track. Would you agree?
Yes. That's one of the really fortunate things is about our team versus some of the other teams I've worked for is it's more of a family than a race team. Our owners are by far some of the best owners I've ever worked for. And
cool.
I mean, they go above and beyond for all of us.
Well, that's good to hear. That's really good to hear because, I mean, you could hear some horror stories about some other teams, and I can tell you stories that make you half spin, but yeah, no, that's really, really good to hear. So, Josh, what is your favorite track to go to on the circuit, and why?
Oh, man. Kind of a loaded question in a way. I would want to say Las Vegas because it's a free trip to Vegas to party and for a few hours worth of work. But probably as far as just actual good racing, even though the Sprint Cup series doesn't go there, is Iowa. I think Iowa provides the actual best racing, period. But as far as Sprint Cup tracks that we go to, anything close to home to where I get to sleep in my own bed and not have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning is a winner for me.
Gotcha. So I want to ask you about the pit wall itself. Now, I've noticed that at every track we go to, every single pit wall is different. It's different in height, width, even materials. Some of them are metal, some are concrete. What do you think about the different types of pit walls that you go over?
Some places, for the way that NASCAR has rules set up this year, and being a gas man, it allows me to actually stand up with my heels touching the wall. So it doesn't affect me as much. But when I was a jack man, some of these places we go to has a very, very narrow, just like a metal retaining wall. And you're having to stand there and basically balance yourself. And these tire carriers have to stand there and balance themselves with these tires. It can be kind of tricky. I know that Dover is one of those places. It's kind of thin and metal. Other places we go to, California example, I mean, you can completely lay down on the wall. That's how wide it is.
Yeah. So which one would you consider the best pit wall that you have to work with? Would you say California?
Yeah, anything that's really wide where, like I said, you're not having to balance yourself, is definitely an advantage. Huge advantage.
Gotcha. So now everyone asks me how heavy the gas can is that you guys carry going over the wall when it's full and when it's empty. So how heavy can that thing get when it's full?
Well, ideally and perfectly, it's about 93 pounds. There's a little window that Snoco fills the fuel to. Sometimes the guys kind of miss the mark a little bit, and I've had cans that weigh as heavy as 102 pounds.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And then whenever we empty it, if it's completely empty, it's right around 20, 22 pounds.
Okay. All right, cool. So that's not too bad. So describe exactly what goes through your mind when you're sitting on that wall and you see the car coming at you seconds before the pit stop happens. What are you thinking?
Well, now that NASCAR has allowed me to stand up is to stand still. With this new Hawkeye system that they have, pit crews right and left have been busted for over the wall too soon. I don't know if any gas men have been caught, but we were told in the preseason meeting that any little movement by the gas man, since he's already over the wall standing there, could alert the system and it would be a man over the wall early too soon. Just because I flinched a little bit. So mentally, I'm trying to mentally get the blood flowing to all the muscles that I need to get to moving, but tell them not to move quite yet. So that's really the only thing that I'm thinking of is to be ready, but don't move quite yet.
Wow,
I'm trying to stand as still as possible. Yeah, it's so far, knock on wood, we haven't been caught. But like I said, I don't want to be the one that gets our team the penalty.
Exactly. And that's, I know. That's why I stopped going over the wall. When I was doing that catch can in the ARCA series, the damn can got stuck. I don't tell many people this, but yeah, the can got stuck I think it was Chicago. And thankfully, Pat Cole, front tire carrier for the 43 team, he pulled it out just before Matt left the pit box with it, and he got it out. I was pulling that thing, and I was like, that's it, I'm done. And I said, I do not want to be the cause of anyone's penalty, especially someone on my own team. You know, like, God, but so, yeah, I know exactly how you feel about that. Did you hear about that?
Well, that's one of the most – I can definitely feel your pain. That's why I'm super cognizant of not trying to move. None of us want to be the reason for the penalty or, you know, have loose wheels or any kind of mistakes. We all want to go out and be as solid as possible and let, our driver do everything he can, and we'll try to gain him as many spots as we can.
Yeah.
Hopefully get a good outcome in the end.
Gotcha. So now I know that your team has some great sponsors and that supports the team, you know. What can you say about your team's sponsors and what are some of the perks that you and the crew members receive from them? Like, you know, do you get like a lifetime supply of Bush's baked beans or something? Like, what do you get out of it?
You could call it a lifetime supply. There's a few pallets in the shop. There's pallets of Bush's baked beans, Hungry Jack pancake mix. The pit crew itself actually was very extremely fortunate to be sponsored by Core Power Protein. And for those of us, as hard as we work in the gym, we definitely need the protein to replenish our muscles. And we got sponsored by them, so they send us, just enough protein to feed all of us. So we're very, very blessed and fortunate to have them as a sponsor this year.
What do you guys do with pallets of beans, though? What do you do with it?
Well, a lot of teams will, you'll attest to this. The NASCAR garage is kind of a big, giant family. If somebody needs something, you can go to any of the hall and ask them, and they'll gladly give it to you. And a lot of times we'll swap products with other teams, like the 43 team. We'll give them beans and they'll give us bacon. Our truck driver will, whatever a team needs and they want to trade, we'll barter back and forth, and it benefits, each organization.
Well, that makes sense. Then you definitely need a few pallets of beans. That's pretty cool. I didn't know that you guys did all that. I know it had sponsors that really gave us stuff like that, so, but that's cool. All right, that makes sense. So, Josh, what are some of your most memorable experiences that you've had with RA fans? I ask everybody this that comes on the show.
Oh, man.
Most memorable experience with RA fans.
There's probably not one that really just kind of sticks out. There's just really not one that just kind of sticks out. Every track we go to, the people are definitely different. Someone from Talladega is way different than somebody from New Hampshire. Just some of the different stories they tell and this, that, and other. A lot of these fans have us absolutely cracking up when they stop and tell us stories on pit road. As many years I've been doing it, I couldn't tell you one that really sticks out in my mind right now.
All right, well, I guess I'll have to have you back on a show when you do get one of them. But obviously, you're a pretty popular guy at the track, as is everyone on your team. And I guess that comes with a certain responsibility to interact, on social media and at the track with the fans. So how do you and the crew kind of interact with the race fans socially at the track?
When we're out in the mornings setting up our pit box, tire changers are blowing up, and we're still doing work, but when the track opens, the fans come in, do their fan walk, they'll stop and ask us a whole barrage of questions. And you know, if most time one of us is not doing something, so they'll take time out and actually answer the fans. Sometimes a fan will catch all of us just kind of sitting there, and as a group, we'll answer their questions, show them around the pit box, let them come up, have a seat, show them the view of what our crew chief looks at. But yeah, I mean, it's super awesome to interact with the fans in the mornings like that.
Nice. So what about on social media? How do you and the guys interact on social media?
Some of our guys actually are big Twitter people. I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to be famous to be on Twitter. I'm by no means famous whatsoever. I really don't have anything to say. but, yeah, I mean, some of our guys eat that stuff up and go back and forth. And even AJ gets involved a little bit. But for me, I'm just kind of the quiet man on the bottom of the totem pole here. And, I don't really have much to say.
All right. Okay. So now how can fans that want to connect with your team on social media, what's the fan page for your team on social media?
I think everything is linked through the website, JTG Daugherty Racing. I think any information that, I mean, all the information and links and stuff are based off of that page. And we even have profiles on that page.
Nice, nice.
At least the last time I looked, it was updated with our profile.
Very cool. Cool. Well, all right. Cool. Well, Doc, that's really cool. Thank you very, very much for coming on the show and sharing your story of how you got started, you know. And now, do you know, do they still do that kind of thing where they have, like, these open auditions, like how you got your start, or is that just kind of like a one-shot deal?
Mine was a complete freak occurrence. But one of my team members actually runs pit school now, where anybody mm-hmm. can come check it out. And like I said, he'll be more than happy to show you whatever position you want to be shown. He has actual Sprint Cup assistant teachers who come in, guys who are excellent at their job, and will take the students if you're a tire changer. And will hone you to be a Sprint Cup Series tire changer.
That's really
and
cool.
And he's a super, super nice guy. And his school is growing more and more each and every week.
Nice. Yeah, I'm planning on getting Chuck on the show real soon. So, cool, cool. Yeah, his it's actually called Xfinity. Excalibur. Yes.
Yep.
The
Excalibur
pit school. Yep. Yeah, we've had actually some of his pit students pit. For Brian at the ARCA race a couple of weeks ago, and they did pretty good. They really did. So, yeah, he's got a great school.
And
he's got good stuff going on there. Cool, cool. Well, Josh, I want to thank you for coming on the show. See, I told you there was no pressure in this interview. So,
thanks for having me. Like I said, I don't have much to say. I'm the little quiet guy.
Nope, you did great. Thank you very much for coming on the show. All right, I will see you soon, and thanks again.
Awesome. Right. Thanks for having me, Jen.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, how cool is that? That was really cool insight as to what, you know, goes on in the life of an NASCAR Sprint Cup Series gas man. I mean, hopefully his story can inspire someone that's sitting at home listening to this show right now, you know, thinking about becoming a pit crew member. And, you know, maybe Josh's story can help you find a job in racing, you know, the job that you want. I love having pit crew members come on the show because each one of them has such great stories. And they literally come from, like, you know, all over the globe in different ways and situations. And they wind up getting into the sport, working together, winning races and championships. So it's really, really cool. All right. And I will be speaking more about the Excalibur Pit School coming up soon within the next couple of weeks. So stay tuned for that. All right, moving on. Now, I did not have a dedicated fan in the stand reporter this weekend at Bristol. I did, but then the last minute they couldn't make it, and I understood the situation and the circumstances. So I didn't have a dedicated fan in the stand reporter this weekend at Bristol, but that's okay. I mean, the program is still going really, really well. And I still have some races that are open. So if you want to be one of my future dedicated fan in the stand reporters at an upcoming NASCAR race, this year, connect with me, tell me which races that you're planning on going to, and give me your reasons on why I should pick you, and maybe I will. If I do, I'll definitely send you some garage passes, and I'll send you to the track on a mission. You'll be helping me and a lot of other race fans stay updated all weekend long, giving us the inside scoop from your perspective while you have the best chance of meeting all your favorite drivers, taking pictures with them, having an absolute blast. So check it out. It's infilgen@gmail.com. Now I want to give a shout-out to my sponsor, Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC. Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC is a wealth and profitability company designed to help individuals and businesses manage their finances and then not only help them grow their businesses, but improve their quality of life as well. They have been a huge supporter of this Race Fans Rock radio show, infilgen.com, and a strong supporter of Brian Keselowski Motorsports, and a huge supporter of racefansrock.com, my social community dedicated to racing and everyone in it. Now, Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC, have helped thousands of their clients achieve the lifestyle that they've always wanted. They've provided them with the peace of mind and the kind of financial stability that they were looking for. Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC, will help you live the good life, too. So for more information and to schedule your consultation, make sure you tell them Infield Gen sent you. Just visit www.highlandwealthny.com today. That's highlandwealthny.com. And if you're in the Charlotte, North Carolina, or any of the surrounding areas, and your house needs some help, like a good cleaning, just call Kate's Cleaning Services. They'll get your home or office back in tip-top shape and smelling great in no time at all. There is absolutely no job that they can't handle. It's not too big, too small, or too gross. Trust me. They help me out all the time, and I have three stinky basset hounds. They can get pretty stinky and dirty pretty quickly. Basset hounds only look low maintenance, but they're so little to the ground that they pick up all the stuff. I mean, they just make a little bit of a mess. They're all over the place. Anyway, Tate's Cleaning Services is excellent. They're fully licensed and insured. They clean residential homes and commercial buildings and offices. You can find them on Facebook, /Tate's Cleaning Services. That's T-A-T-E-S Cleaning Services. Or you can email them at NorthCarolinaMade@gmail.com. And you can give them a call at 763-269-1919. Again, make sure you tell them that I sent you. You'll get a discount. They're the best at what they do, and you will not be disappointed with their results. All right, now it's time to move on. I want to talk to you a little bit about racefansrock.com. I mentioned it a little while ago. If you haven't heard about it by now, you must have been living under a rock. It's my social community. It's dedicated to racing and everyone in it. And that means you. It's designed for race fans, drivers, teams, members of NASCAR, ARCA, and all members of the media to come together and interact on my social community. You can join for free right now. It won't cost you a dime to join. It's really user-friendly, and it's familiar because we've combined the best features of popular social media like Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, put it all together in one awesome site. Now, we post cool and informative information on there every single week. We have prizes that we give away for certain kinds of interactions, and, you know, we are always adding new features to the site. It's really easy to stay connected to social media like Facebook and Twitter because we've integrated them right into racefansrock.com. So you can post directly to Facebook and Twitter when you post on racefansrock. Plus, it took it one step further with the complete Twitter integration. So when you connect your Twitter account to racefansrock, you're going to see your entire Twitter feed on racefansrock.com. And you can do everything like tweet, favorite, quote, and retweet all from racefansrock, and it all gets posted to Twitter from racefansrock. So the site launched on April 6th this year, and I checked out the stats just before the show, and we are well over 180,000 page views and interactions since that launch date. So it tells me one thing. When members sign on to racefansrock.com, they stay there, and that's what it's all about. It's a one-stop race fans shop, and it's exactly what I wanted to happen with racefansrock.com. It's a site that race fans and the racing community is enjoying spending their time on, and it's given them everything they want on a race-related site. Our featured fan of the week is Cheryl Ashley. So if you want to go check out Cheryl's page, see how big of a fan she is, click on a picture on the homepage and add her as your Race Fans Rock friend. Now, next week's featured fan could be you, but you have to join today. My personal favorite feature on racefansrock.com is the live chat rooms that I have set up for every single driver in the top three series and then some. And I even have my own InfoGen social sofa chat room, which I use when the races are happening live and I am in front of a TV watching it at home with everybody else. Now, the conversations in the chat room, they're just a lot of fun. You know, we talk about what's going on during the races in real time. That's a big difference than other social media out there. we're talking in real time, we're posting in real time, and we're responding to each other in real time. So, you know, when things happen on the track, we're talking about it right away. When the race is having some really good green flag runs, you know, we can get a little off topic, talk about, you know, other things, where everyone's from, who's their favorite driver, what do they do, da-da-da-da, you know. It's just a good conversation. So I've gotten away from posting the lap-by-lap results on Facebook and Twitter because it just takes too long. You know, you post it, they read it, then they got to think about what they want to say to respond to it. Then you have to refresh your screen to see what they said, and it just takes too long. And by the time you do all that, you're like 10 laps behind talking about old news, you know. So I'm in the live chat rooms now during the races, and I'm having a great time in there. And people that have joined me every week, they have a great time too, and I think you should join me as well. So that's where I'll be from now on when the races are going on. Now, when you join any of the other driver chat rooms, you can instantly connect with other race fans that like the same drivers as you do. And you never know when that driver will actually join his or her own chat room and talk with you live. Now, if a driver does join racefansrock.com, he or she is verified, so you know that you're not talking to an imposter. I have really strict guidelines on Race Fans Rock. And if you're not on there talking about racing, you're going to get a warning. It's not a dating site, so that kind of stuff isn't tolerated. No spammy kind of accounts are tolerated. As a matter of fact, I deleted some of them this past week. Anyone can report any kind of negative behavior. It'll be checked out and dealt with really quickly. So, you know, like I said, if you haven't joined racefansrock.com already, do it now or after the show. It's easy and it's free and it's safe. So I know that you're going to enjoy racefansrock.com. Okay, moving on. So another question that I'm asked all the time is, how can I meet my favorite driver? Well, the answer is really simple. Give them money. And watch how quickly you get to meet them. But seriously, becoming a sponsor is a great way to get yourself directly involved. It could be with your favorite team, and you can easily get on board with my team, Brian Keselowski Motorsports. I've made it really easy to do so. We definitely like to do one more ARCA race this year, and we're planning on Sandwich Speedway coming up on September 19th, and we're looking for some good people to partner with for that race. Now, we have some sponsorship for that race already, but we do need a little bit more in order for us to actually be able to leave the shop and go to the track and do well. So if you do sign up with us, just know that in addition to just having your decal on our race car or a patch on Brian's uniform, we're offering really attractive packages that include representation on both BrianKeselowski.com, InfieldGen.com, extensive social media awareness that includes Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+, Instagram, Periscope, Pinterest, Tumblr, YouTube, RaceFansRock.com, and more, as well as live commercials right here on this show. Now, we can even include some VIP experience passes to an ARCA race or to the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race of our sponsor's choice. We have that ability. And, hey, I have my InfieldGen, Race Fans Rock, Highland Wealth Advisors, Fire Suit, and I have some space on there as well. So I can stick a decal on there for you. But we always strive to do more for our sponsors to make it a really successful partnership so that it works for our sponsors and they get a good return, you know, so that they're not wasting their time or you know, not getting what they want out of it. Working with our team is a really great opportunity for you to get the word out about your business, your product, your brand. And, you know, if you want to think outside the box to make an announcement like happy birthday or happy anniversary, or hey, even, you know, will you marry me, and you want to use our race car and our team as a unique way for you to do that, let me know and I will make it happen for you. Just connect with me by email at infilgen@gmail.com. Now, aside from that, we have a lot of other programs that we have in place, and it gets race fans involved, you know, which helps us raise the funds that we need to go racing. Like my InfieldGen fan sponsorship program, which is the easiest way to get fans involved as sponsors. My InfieldGen fan sponsorship program allows us to connect with race fans, allows them to have the access to the NASCAR races that they're dying to go to. It gives them the chance to meet all their favorite drivers while they help our team. I started the program at the beginning of the year, and God, it's caught on so well. I turn race fans into sponsors every single day. I could do it for you, too. Now, I bet you did not know that for just as little as $100, you could be considered a team sponsor. Serious. Now, based on the different packages I'm offering, you know, our sponsors will receive a VIP pass or a few of them to a NASCAR Sprint Cup race of their choice for any of the races remaining in the 2015 season, and that includes the Chase races. So for more information, go to infieldgen.com/fan-sponsorship. I have it all written out, and I posted a list of commonly asked questions, so you have all the information that you need right there in front of you to make that decision. Once you do, just contact me and tell me when I'll be turning you into a team sponsor too. That's infieldgen.com/fan-sponsorship. Check it out, and I am telling you, you never knew how easy it was to do this. I customize packages as well, so if you actually would like to have your logo on a NASCAR Sprint Cup Series car, even if it isn't Brian Keselowski's car on track, I can make that happen for you too, because I know these guys, and I know these team owners, and they work with me to so that I could hook you up. So if you'd like more information and sponsorship pricing about that, shoot me an email at infieldgen@gmail.com. Okay? All right. So now that the NASCAR Series drivers and teams have returned from Bristol Motor Speedway, the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series will take the next weekend off, but the NASCAR Xfinity Series will be road course racing at the very popular Road America, and the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series will head all the way up to Canada to take on the Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. Okay, well, it is time to find out who's who, who's in it, and who is driving what this weekend. So, starting with the NASCAR Xfinity Series, we have 40 cars on the entry list for Saturday's Road America 180 at Road America. We don't know who's going to be driving the zero car yet for JD Motorsports, but I am sure that they will figure it out before the green flag drops. But we do know that Michael Stealth will be in the JD Motorsports number 4 car. Tim Cowan returns to the number 13 for Rick Ware. Stanton Barrett will be making an appearance in the number 17 for Rick Ware. Kenny Habul, I love saying his name, returns to the JGR number 20. Justin Marks is back in the 42. Boris Stead will be in the 54 for Joe Gibbs. Bobby Roos will be the driver of the 74 for Mike Harmon. And Dylan Kwasniewski is back in the number 97 this weekend. The NASCAR Xfinity Series Road America 180 at Road America will take place on Saturday, August 29th at 3 o'clock p.m. with coverage on NBCSN. All right, moving on to the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. There are 31 trucks on the entry list for Sunday's Chevrolet Silverado 250 at the Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. We're going to have Brian Wong in the number 25, Alex Tagliani in the number 29 for Brad Keselowski Racing, and I like saying his last name too, Josh Room, oh, I'm probably saying this wrong, I hate that, sorry Josh, is in the number 44. Robert Mitten will be in the number 53, and Greg Golding will be in the 54. Still not sure who's going to be driving the number 63 yet, but again, I am sure that they will figure it out before the green flag drops. The NASCAR Camping World Truck Series Chevrolet Silverado 250 is set to start on Sunday, August 30th at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Fox Sports 1. Now, hey, if you are not at the track this weekend and you're not able to catch the action, that's okay. It's fine. Just grab a seat with me in my social on my social sofa in my live social sofa chat room on racefansrock.com. Keep in touch with me and continue sending me your questions and requests all week long. You can find me on racefansrock.com by simply typing in Phil Jen in the search box and add me as your friend. You can still connect with me on Facebook at facebook.com/infieldgenfanpagefansrock. Excuse me. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at infieldgen. And I'm also on Instagram, LinkedIn, Google+, YouTube, Tumblr, Pinterest, Periscope, and more as infieldgen. Need a drink. Oh, yeah, I'm just getting something stuck in your throat. Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah. Make sure you visit my website, infieldgen.com, on a daily basis to check out the latest news, pictures, videos, race results that includes all the practice sessions, qualifying sessions, and final race results complete with race notes and penalty reports for every single race. Make sure you also check out my new blog posts, cool fan stories, post-race audio interviews straight from the media centers at each and every racetrack, releases, photos from my dedicated fan of the stand reporters every weekend, and so much more. So check it out, see what you missed, and get all caught up. It's all right there on infieldgen.com. Then don't forget to click over to my merchandise tab and get yourself some infieldgen gear. I have some really cool stuff. Well, I am out of time for tonight's show. I want to thank my awesome friend and gaff man of the number 47 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series team, Josh Martin, for coming on the show. And I want to thank all the race fans who allowed me to turn them into sponsors this week. I'm going to send a huge shout-out to Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC, for their continued support. And thanks to Tate's Cleaning Services for helping me keep a clean home. and to each and every one of you guys who tuned in. I hope you all enjoyed this weekend's Xfinity and Camping World Truck Series races. And join me in my live chat room on racefansrock.com when the green flag drops each one of those races. I'll be there. Now, if you're going to any other tracks this weekend, feel free to send me some of your awesome pics that you take and so I can see how much fun that you have, and I will post them all up on infieldgen.com under the Fan Central section. Thanks again for tuning in tonight. We'll get to do this again next Tuesday evening. Till then, you guys have a great week, and I'll catch up with you again right here, same day, same time. And remember, everyone, racefansrock.com. Good night.